Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction, haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return to you once again in this another February. With illness in the house, sickness, the crud.
Yeah, it's been going around. Inevitably, I get blamed for bringing it in because I'm the only one that works outside the house. So I see the most people.
Yeah. And it odds are was you.
Yeah.
But this one's been very weird. Like, usually when I get hit by something, it's like, bam, you're out. You're in timeout chair for 2 days. Come back when you're done. This one, like, snuck up on me.
Right.
It's like, oh, I got this weird headache that won't go away. And then I realize, oh, decongestants kill it. That's not a good sign.
Yeah.
And, like, for most of the day today, I felt pretty good, but just as we were getting ready to sit down and record, I noticed, and I had taken decongestants like 30 minutes before, so I took my medicine.
Yeah.
I was a good Shiloh. If you get that reference, you're my new friend. I took my medicine, but, it's now moving into my nose and throat, so I know I sound a little more nasally than I usually do. And my deep baritones are lost.
Well, and there may be more coughing on this episode than...
I will do my best to mitigate it, but yeah.
Best.
We're not using the lavalier mic specifically so we can turn to the side and cough without blowing out the mic. So, yeah. But anyways, definitely take a moment, find out how we're doing. Keep track of the crud. We're at hauntweekly.com, hauntweekly on Twitter, hauntweekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. We're also on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. If you just can't get enough of us, those are all the places you can follow us.
Yes.
You creepy, creepy stalker, you. All right. And this is episode 220. Now, 220 is divisible by 4, and that means it's time to do
the news.
Now, we skipped a month last week because of HauntCon and HauntCon related stuff.
Right.
So we didn't get our usual one. So this one stretches a bigger distance. It stretches 2 months, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
It goes technically from right before Christmas to right after Valentine's Day.
Hmm. Okay.
That's a pretty good gap there. But
that is. That's
about,
a big
I think
gap.
It's like the 23rd all the way to... all the way to now, because the 1 month mark in between would have been right in the middle of HauntCon.
Got it.
So, yeah, lots of stuff to go over this week. Kind of a downer news episode, gotta be honest. But
hopefully.
Promise we're going to end on a high note, as we always try to do.
Yes.
But first things first, conference reminders. It's an even week, that means I kick off. Coming up February 21st through the 23rd, it's HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California, at the Fairplex. We'll be touring Asylum Haunted House, both lights on and off, featuring a costume ball, HauntX, just hauntandtheletterx.com for more details.
Hey, March 19th through the 22nd, it's Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri. It is going to be co-located this year with Transworld's Christmas Show and the Room Escape Show. All of this is at the America Center. They will also be touring Darkness and Lent Brewery behind-the-scenes tours. Features a party at City Museum on Thursday, a performance by the Vampire Circus on Friday, and a werewolf ball on Saturday. HaShow.com. That's H-A-A.
H-A-A-S-H-O-W.com.
Yes. I was just spelling the ha part.
Ha. You sound like Tommy Wiseau when we do that. Ha. Mark, what a funny joke. Okay. Moving on, because that died on the vine.
Yes.
May 15th through the 17th in Portland, Oregon. It's the West Coast Haunters Convention at the DoubleTree Hotel, Portland, touring the Fear Haunted House. Also includes a costume ball, a silent auction, and the Nightmare After West Coast Haunters Convention Film Festival, featuring a secret selection of films. HauntersConvention.com for more information.
Okay, then May 15th through the 17th, it's Ohio Halloween and Haunters Convention at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. Features a ghost hunt, costume party, and haunted house tours. OhioHHC.com for more info on that.
Okay, then it's the Midwest Hunters Convention in Schaumburg, Illinois, right outside of Chicago, but as BoJack Horseman was so quick to remind us, not actually Chicagoan. Yeah. But it's June 5th through the 7th at the Renaissance Schaumburg Convention Center Hotel, touring abandoned haunted house complex, Disturbia, and Evil Intentions. In previous weeks, we had said this was via the Lost Souls Tour. That was actually a misunderstanding.
Yes.
It was being promoted by the Lost Souls Bus Tour.
But they are not included. There will not be actors on the buses this year.
Because Lost Souls is awesome and does amazing things for the local haunt community. That's what it comes down to.
Yes.
That's all it is. They are awesome indeed, but there will not be Lost Souls actors on the buses, which is a pity because that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity. But nonetheless, you can learn more at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Okay.
All right. So, a quick update on our haul. We're debating whether or not we drop this, because we're entering a period where we're not going to be doing a whole lot.
Yeah, and I think we just should. We've been talking about this since, you know, September.
Yeah, but I kind of like it, because it keeps us being honest about the work we do. But still, nothing to add this week. We've been working on new cornhole faces, actually, or crystallizing mostly. So that's been our little side project. Basically, the cornhole boards we made previously.
Yeah.
We did not realize the polycryl needed to set for 72 hours for touching a beanbag.
Being touched by. Well, it's the same. Newton's. Yeah. Well, his properties and stuff.
The transitive property of touch basically makes me right.
Exactly.
But yeah, so we didn't know that. So they ended up getting scuffed. Now they're fine. They're still very playable. They play very well. And in fact, we put so many layers meant that the bottom layers did get 72 hours.
Right.
And they're hunky-dory.
Yes.
But they look all scuffed and scratched, and we're not happy with it. So we redid the skins. Crystal did some amazing stencil work on these.
Yeah.
We're very excited to put these on. Hopefully, we'll be doing that before we leave for a little bit of time away, which, by the way, we should probably mention as a housekeeping note.
Yes.
We will be gone next week.
Yeah.
We'll be out of town. Now, we will record. We will upload. We're moving to we are visiting Civilization. We're visiting Wichita. Oh, we're screwed.
Yeah. Yes, we're going to be in Wichita for a little while.
About a week or so.
Yeah, so if you are a haunter in the area and want to hang out, please
maybe
contact
be interviewed.
Us. Yeah, we do have family matters to attend to. That's why we're going.
Yeah.
But we will have some time in the evenings that we'd be happy to meet people.
And on a related note, if you're a haunter in the Wichita area, and you, A, know of a year-round haunted house in the area that we could go to, we've not been able to locate one.
No.
We've tried multiple times, have not been able to locate one. It's not a huge surprise. Those typically exist in more touristy areas.
Yeah.
Like the one in San Antonio across the street from the Alamo.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to be cold when we're there.
So I'm not surprised that there weren't any. So, if you know one that we don't know about in that area or somewhere in the surrounding area, please do inform us.
Yes.
We would love to attend it. But if you have access and want to do a behind-the-scenes tour of a haunt for us, we're down with that, too. We'd love to visit your haunt and see what you do. Maybe as part of the interview.
Yeah.
So, that would be very cool. If you're in the area, let us know. We'd love to meet up. And even if it's not anything formal, even if it's not an interview, just grab a couple drinks. And they drink in Wichita, right? Like, drinking is legal in Wichita, right?
Sure.
Sure, I have no idea.
I'm sure it is.
I'm sure there are bars. Yeah. New Orleanian in me is starting to twitch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
Starting to have little shoulder spasms here.
Yeah.
But yes, in all seriousness, even if you just want to meet up for something informal like that, let us know. We're definitely up for meeting new people while we're up there. Because it's mostly Ellie's family we're visiting. In fact, it's entirely Ellie's family we're visiting.
Yes, exactly.
So she may want some time alone with them in which we can escape and do
other things. Yeah.
Including hobby stuff.
Yes. We do have one addition.
Oh.
To the the haunt.
Oh.
I picked up.
Christ. fuck me. We're discussing that, huh?
Well, you know, you said we didn't have anything. I did put one thing in there. It's my next project. It's a giant.
You realize now we have to keep the segment going.
Well, I'll just post pictures on it at our Haunt Weekly outlets.
Facebook and Twitter, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But it's giant mirror frame.
Well, no mirror.
no mirror, but it's gothic style with like, and it's hand carved wood with scallops and all this other cool stuff. Somebody painted it this hideous, hideous blue. It's going to be black. So.
Black maybe with dark gray gray accents?
I'm thinking silver or gold.
But regardless, mm-hmm. Yeah, we had actually seen it at a garage sale. One of our neighbors, a few houses, like a block or two away,
right.
Is moving.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, everything in the garage, literally, everything in the garage is for sale.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the weirdest garage sale ever.
Like, literally, everything's for sale in the garage, because she's trying to get rid of it. And there were two things we wanted, but could not afford. One was the bar she had.
Right, and she wasn't selling it yet.
Yeah, she was debating whether or not to sell it. That's true. Yeah. But the other was the picture frame or the mirror frame, and we're not sure which it was, to be honest with you.
It looks like maybe it actually was a coffee table at one point.
I don't know, but it's big, it's huge.
Yeah, it's about 5.5 feet tall.
Yeah, it's giant. And so, yeah, she wanted more than we could pay or were willing to pay at that time.
Yeah.
And then it just went to trash, and that's when...
Yep, I've been watching the trash for that.
We saved $55 by... My dumpster diving at house.
it's not really a dumpster, but it's on the sidewalk.
fair enough. But it's still the spirit of it.
Yeah.
Anyways, we should probably do some news, right? I mean, we're like 12 minutes into this.
I don't know. Have we padded enough?
I don't know.
We got enough padding?
All right. I don't know. But anyways, so yeah, that's all that's been going on in the haunt this week. I'm actually very curious to see what you do with it, but I'll... It's one of those things where you went to the goddamn library to print out some things. We don't have a printer here anymore.
Right.
Because who has a printer in 2020?
Yeah.
Went to the library to print out some copies of your resume. The library was closed.
Right.
So you didn't come back with the printouts.
No.
But you came back with a goddamn mirror frame.
Uh-huh. Exactly. What's so wrong about that?
Because you can't take it to an interview. So here's my CV. And then...
Oh, God. I'd hate to carry that up to the second floor.
Oh, man. Anyways, we do have news to discuss this week. One thing to get out of the way is we had a ton of stories about haunts opening for Valentine's Day.
No kidding.
A lot of press mentions about that. Obviously, we can't cover all of them because so many haunts are doing it now.
Right.
And this seems to be now more of a normal thing where you have haunt season... September to early November.
Yeah.
Then you have a Christmas show. Then you have Valentine's Day. Some haunts are doing St. Patty's.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find interesting. And then typically from like after Valentine's into summer is when you're getting more of the build time now.
Yeah.
So a lot of haunts are having their build season cut into by this because it used to be start building like end of November. All the way through September, so you had that damn near full year, like 6 to 9 months there. Now, a lot of haunts are not starting to build until March.
Right.
So, it's going to be interesting to see how this impacts both the industry financially and in terms of build quality and what it can do. So, I'll be curious to follow that and keep up with that. But, yeah. A lot of haunts got really good press for opening up on Valentine's Day. We do have some Valentine's Day related stories. Don't worry. We got a few, but just we can't discuss every haunt that did something for Valentine's Day.
No, there are way too many.
There's like hundreds, literally.
Yeah.
Okay. I am happy to see it becoming industry standard. I've been saying for a long time we need to start doing more in other seasons. We need to stop limiting ourselves to the 6 to 8 week cycle.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to see that, even if these are very small, brief openings, they do seem to be quite popular still. It'd also be interesting to track if they're still popular, as popular in a few years' time. Like right now, they're still very novel.
Right. There's novel, there's the FOMO that goes along with not going to it.
Yeah, when the novelty wears off and the FOMO wears off, will this latch on as a tradition? At some point, it's got to become a tradition.
Yeah.
Like haunted attractions, going to a haunted house... in October is damn near a tradition for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Anyway, so our first story this week actually is a super current one. This one's technically ongoing as we're recording.
Right.
And it deals with the Field of Screams in Pennsylvania. Now, here's the thing. In the show notes, I'm going to link to a story by Grace Grifato. I should really look up how to pronounce these names before I get in here.
No.
Grifato at Fox 43. They're an outlet from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And they are a good out, a good source for them, a very good synopsis of everything. But more importantly, they have a link to the original Facebook post by Charlotte Hoover that kind of kicked all this off.
Right.
And it's that post has been edited to add links from other actors telling their stories.
Yes.
And what I want you to do, and I'll get more into it in a second, is to go read that post.
Mm-hmm.
It's linked in the article pretty prominently. Really can't miss it. I would advise you to check it out. But the synopsis of the story is this. Multiple actors from Field of Screams have come forward to protest their treatment at the haunt.
Mm-hmm.
The allegations include really, really long work hours, but a volunteer status.
Right.
Regular injuries on site. One person reporting that in her tenure there, which has been about 13 years, she's had, I think she said, 3 or 4 hospital trips.
Yeah, including broken bones.
Including broken bones in her hand and broken bones and other injuries. And that when those injuries happen, the haunt is very dismissive.
Yeah. And they're also have kids working these long hours as volunteers. Mm-hmm. That was another thing that was brought up.
In fact, Charlotte, like I said, the person that started this, said she was 13 when she started.
Yeah.
As a makeup artist, and 14 when she started acting.
Right.
It's okay, not a kid, but a kid, you know?
Yeah. Still legally a kid. Yeah, still legally not able to work long hours.
Sexual harassment and sexual assault by volunteers and customers alike in this one. And actually, Charlotte mentioned in her post that a makeup artist at the haunt was just arrested, literally as this whole thing was unfolding.
Yeah.
Was just arrested for child pornography. Literally as this whole thing was going down. Now, she said that the news article she linked to did not mention him being an actor or affiliated with Field Screens. So we only have Charlotte to say that he was there.
Right.
But yes, a man was accused of has been arrested for child pornography. And basically, it's that the work environment is generally unsafe and that there's a real lack of respect from management for their actors.
Mm-hmm.
That the upper echelon, the top dogs, if you will.
No.
Kind of, so one of them actually said something like, they view us like cattle.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the quips, something along those lines. Now, Field of Screams has responded.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that they find the allegations quote-unquote alarming and that they will do what they need to support their staff and that they are speaking with members individually.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where to begin?
Yeah.
Where do you start eating the elephant? I know one bite at a time, but which end do you begin with? You got to make a choice.
Yeah. Well, and
trunk or bud.
And the thing is that we could spend the rest of the hour on this story.
Oh, easily. I mean, one of the reasons I'm not super worried about the number of stories we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those things we can unpack completely because there's so many moving parts to this. As far as the unsafe working condition for the actors, we'll start there.
Yeah.
That's the haunt's responsibility.
It is.
If actors are even semi-routinely getting injured in significant ways, broken bones definitely would qualify. That's a haunt design issue. That's a haunt safety issue. That starts at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're completely right. It does.
Because I don't know how else to say that.
Well, and I see these, posts on Haunters Hangout and other places about, what's the worst injury you've received while working in a haunt? And I'm like, what do you mean? Why are there all these stories of people being injured while working?
I mean, I get accidents and unpredictable things happen.
Right.
I once, and see, once again, I blame myself for this for reasons I'll get into. A group that was running back out the entrance of the haunt ambushed me and basically fucking Goldberg speared me in the back.
Yeah.
And sent me sailing. Luckily, I didn't have the hard cue line we have now.
Right.
So I just kind of skidded on the concrete and took a tumble and I got a scraped elbow and that was the worst of it.
Right.
So, that wasn't that bad, but it could have been real, real bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And we changed our design because of that.
Yeah,
that was a learning lesson. You know, we had an actor...
And that was the reason I blame myself, is because the initial design was too long of a straight hallway after the entrance.
Right.
That gave them all this running room to literally plow the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And even worse, it could have been them.
Yeah.
You know, I can take the hit.
Yeah.
I'm still surprisingly resilient after all these years.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, but they would have been worse if they'd gotten hurt. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry. You had an actor?
No, I was saying that, you know, we have actors who, because the way we build our home, we don't have a lot of room, but we always give actors room to retreat.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, if you see a swing coming, you can get out of the way.
Yeah. You have a safe place to go, and everyone else... And the other actors can then respond and handle the situation immediately.
Right.
This is something that we do with 625 square feet.
Yeah. Now, there's been one actor, I think, he was hit because he decided to work the area differently. And I told him whenever he moved, I'm like, okay, you can try this, but if you get hit, that's your fault. Because you're working this area and you don't have any place to retreat to.
We gave him a retreat space. He chose not to work it. He was corrected on it.
Right.
And he chose to do it anyway.
And he was an adult.
And
let's
he,
put
by
that
the way,
out
no
there.
Longer is involved in law. It's not for this reason.
No,
for other reasons.
It's for worse reasons.
There's multiple issues, but this was one of the first indications we can't work with this guy.
Yeah.
Was we're telling him this is how you do this room safely.
Yeah.
And he's got his kid in there with him, and he's not listening.
Yeah.
That's one of the first indications we can't work with him.
Right.
And there were bigger, stronger ones later. I'm glad we ejected him.
But back to the story.
Yes.
I mean, if I had a stream of complaints coming in,
mm-hmm.
I would have to, like, shut down and reevaluate everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there needs to be a serious... conversation in the industry about background checks for actors.
And not that background checks would catch every bad person.
Right.
But it's about doing due diligence. Now, one of the things that Charlotte mentioned was the idea of metal detectors. I'm not a fan of those. I don't think they're A, effective.
Right.
Or B, super useful. And I don't think they're effective at all, and I think they create more problems than they solve, honestly, in terms of safety and security.
Yeah.
One of the main problems they cause is they take some of your security personnel away from the haunt, and in this queue line area, demand the metal detector.
Right.
That itself is a security issue. I hear these stories, and... It's like, and I'm going to defend Field of Screams here for one moment. It's been about a dozen actors in a very, very large haunt.
Yeah.
And it's a dozen actors talking over at least a dozen years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in terms of the people speaking out and posting on Facebook and things, it's a very small percentage.
Right.
That said, in such things, I follow the 1-to-10 rule. For every one person who is saying something, there's usually 10 who are not.
No.
You dig?
Yeah.
So, in my head, I look at this problem as being 10 times bigger than it is. Mm-hmm. Than it appears just from the head count here. But the stories are remarkably consistent, too, in terms of the types of things that have happened.
Right.
The sexual assault and sexual harassment is deeply discouraging, both by other volunteers and by customers. There needs to be a process in place for dealing with these. And that's the thing, that there should not be repeated issues with this, because there should be a process for approaching it and dealing with it in place, especially this large haunt, where you know you have a hierarchy.
Right, and this is in place when your customers are going through. Mm. If there's a problem customer, there should be a way to get security there before they leave the scene.
And I'm going to say this. This does not happen at Hell's Gate. None of this stuff happens at Hell's Gate.
Okay.
And I'll say that because of how Hell's Gate's designed.
Right.
Taking that behind-the-scenes tour of Hell's Gate changed my haunt life.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating.
No, I know.
Watching how it was structured and built from the ground up, and how intelligently they built it exactly for the purpose we're just discussing of getting trouble customers out of the haunt.
Yeah.
They don't have these issues of one customer wreaking havoc through a haunt. That yabo's gone in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Because they can do it without a large number of security personnel.
Right.
They've done the design is amazing there, but I mean that's just it. They thought about these issues and they planned for them, and it's obvious Field of Screams has not.
Yeah, and I'm really upset by this story. Well, because when you sent it to me, I was like, wow,
yeah,
this is really really bad.
And here's the thing that really worries me. Okay, Field of Screams having these issues is bad.
Yeah.
Any haunt having these issues is bad. Field of Screams is one of the top haunts in this nation.
Yeah, it's consistently on list.
If you ask me to name like 15 haunted attractions in the country off the top of my head, Field of Screams almost certainly would come up in that list.
Yeah.
They're that big that even down here in New Orleans, I'm familiar with them. Didn't we meet them at Hong Kong?
I don't know, but aren't they part of the Field of Screams trademark
Yeah,
dispute?
They were part of that, yep.
Yeah. I think that's how we got introduced to them.
Yeah. But the point I'm trying to hit at here is they really messed this up. And part of that is since they are one of those top-tier haunts, this reflects back on the entire industry.
Right. It does. And, you know... Okay.
It does, and the thing about it is we're kind of fortunate right now that this is only a local news story.
Yeah.
All the news we've been reporting and I've seen have been from that particular area, though it's gotten pretty heavy local news coverage.
Right.
It has not gone national yet. This, I mean, do you want people to think this is the norm for haunted houses?
Right. Well, and the thing is that it has the potential to go national.
Easily.
Especially if they don't address it and make changes before October.
Yeah. Now, all this came to light right before their Valentine's Day show.
Yeah.
And long story short, it's bad. And the fact that the actors felt that this was the only way to have their grievances heard...
Yeah.
Makes it even worse. They really do, all of them seem to describe a very lackadaisical attitude from the management mm-hmm. and their treatment of managers. And all of this for volunteers. This is a for-profit haunt that does not pay its actors.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how that's legal.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I want to end it on this note because I've been kind of leading to this. Go to that article in the show notes and click through to the original Facebook post by Charlotte Hoover. The reason I want you to do that, especially if you're in any capacity in actor management, mm-hmm. is because she, in about like 12 or 14 paragraphs, something like that, it's not terribly long, it won't take you very long, but she outlines in beautiful prose why she joined Field of Screams and why she stayed there, how they became a haunt family, how
right.
they bonded, they grew together. And then she described how that became toxic.
Yeah.
She made a point at one point, said at one point that, oh, you have a family emergency, but we're your family.
Yeah.
And you see, and here's my analogy to this. If we're, you know, in Wichita visiting Ellie's family.
Right.
And I find out my mom is sick in South Carolina mm-hmm. and I gotta go.
Yeah.
Ellie's not going to say, but we're your family.
No.
That's not how families treat you.
No, and that's not how... I mean, and this is basically an unpaid job. And if it were a paid job, that's not how...
A job treats
employers
you.
Treat you. Except for the one horrible boss I had. But,
yeah, but there was,
other
yeah,
than that...
Most employers don't treat
most
you.
Most employers...
They should not treat you that
no,
way.
No, and if they do, you leave. You know?
Yeah.
That's why I'm not at that company anymore.
And my hope here is that Field of Screams has sort of a come to Jesus moment, as the expression goes.
Yeah.
And works to rectify these issues. Because the good news is, this happening now,
mm-hmm.
in February, yeah, okay, it kind of borked and messed with the Valentine's Day show, but it means they have time to make real changes before October. They can double down on actor safety. They can add those safe retreat spaces. They can do these things. I would spend the next, you know, few, 6 months or so, rather than, you know, trying to do new scenes or expand or whatever, fixing what you got, both in terms of, you know, your culture and your haunt.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is an opportunity. I think they can come back in October with a great show that is safe for the actors, safe for the customers. Everyone is better off for it. That's my hope. Let's move on.
Okay, so our next story comes from Salt Lake City. It's by articles by Pat Reavy at the Desert News. An Arizona man was officially charged with inappropriately touching a haunted house employee over this past season. A woman was working at a local haunted house.
Not named for obvious reasons.
Yep. And she was groped. And the victim says that Michael Reed Lindholm, because we will say his name,
because he was in the article.
Exactly. A Mesa, Arizona, put a hand around her waist and used his other hand to touch her inappropriately. She notified the police officer working security. No other details are known at this time, but there is a $100,000 warrant issued for his arrest.
And I want to say, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, this is an interesting study here, right?
Right.
She, as an employee, she's an employee in the case she was paid.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have, in my mind, a real gripe with the haunt. Maybe the haunt could have done something to give her better retreat space or taken other precautions. But she was able to get in touch with security immediately.
Yeah.
She was able to get enough information about the person to get him charged.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot more than what Field of Screams is accused of doing.
It is. Well, and I have a feeling that she may have been a distract actor.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because our distract actors seem to have more problems. The few problem customers we've had.
Yeah.
Other than the one guy who took a swing at the biggest guy around, they've always gone for the distract actors because they're usually seen as, you know, not as scary. They're not the ones trying to scare you. They're the ones trying to get your attention. So you've got to think about them, too, whenever you're designing safe spaces.
Exactly. So all in all, just a study in contrast there between the two haunts.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with the way this unnamed haunt has handled it overall. I do wish they had found ways to prevent it.
Right.
But once again, like I said, even if you do everything right, sometimes there are still customers that will jump those boundaries for you and go beyond.
Right.
That being said, that is not going to be a recurring problem.
Right. And there was a police officer working security there.
Yeah. And she was able to immediately tell him. And apparently they got enough information about him on site.
Yeah, exactly.
For this prosecution. So I'm happy about it.
No.
I don't know if how immediate it was, but it was immediate enough to get his name and other details about him.
Right.
All right, moving on. 13th floor haunted house plans okayed by Joliet Council. I can never say it right. Article by Bob Ocon at the Herald News in Joliet, Illinois, near Chicago, but not Chicagoan.
Right.
The 13th floor has been approved to take over the old Joliet prison. They plan on opening it September of this year. They will make an initial investment of $500,000 to renovate the prison and will give the city $1 for every guest once they pass $10,000 in attendance. Now, you might recognize this place from Haunt Weekly. We've talked about it a bunch of times.
Right.
Because Evil Intentions got the lease on it in 2018. But they were unable to finish it. They said that the building needed far more work than they were able to do.
Right.
And they just were not able to get it open. The city officials have said this new lease provides guarantees that we'll open this year.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that the 13th floor, because this is a big haunted house.
Yeah.
Saw all of the buzz that Evil Intentions got whenever they were trying to put a haunted house in there, and it's like, oh, well, maybe we could do it.
Yeah.
So
I personally worry about the consolidation of our industry.
Mm-hmm.
And 13th Floor is the spear tip of that consolidation. I don't think they're an evil company or anything. They're not like the evil corporate overlords. They're not like Jinko, lording over the haunt industry. That's not what I'm trying to say. But there is a definite pattern of consolidation, and 13th Floor is definitely at the spear tip of it. But with this particular institution, you have to ask what's better, to have 13th Floor open something or nothing.
Right.
Which, if Evil Intentions couldn't get it to work, because they got the old Coffin Factory to work as a haunt.
Right.
They're kind of experts at this.
Yeah.
Who could?
Well, and the other thing is 13th Floor, you know, is able to get it to work, but then leaves. They find it not profitable. Worth their while, you know, after a few years of trying. I don't know. I don't know how often that happens.
I have not heard a 13th Floor closing a haunt, so.
No.
It has not happened yet that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But still, overall, I think this is good news. It's like I said, I worry about consolidation, so that makes me kind of shrug a little bit.
Yeah.
But still, I think it's great news. I'm glad to see someone taking it over.
Okay. Our next article is from Wait 6 in Oneida, Tennessee. Outbreak on Maine haunted house lost its roof Saturday on January 11th. This would be.
Yeah.
So back in time. We're going back in time.
This is one of the older stories, guys.
Yeah. But basically, they lost their entire roof. They were co-located with an antique shop.
Both owned by the same dude, apparently.
Yeah. But all of their electronics and their haunt stuff got water damage. So did the antique side. But they're, you know, just trying to get it cleaned out.
Because basically the roof blew off and then a heavy rainstorm came in and dumped water on everything. It's just an absolute travesty. It's a tragedy. I feel very bad for this guy. Mo Mullis is the owner. He said that the store inventory is being moved out.
Right.
And that all the haunted attraction stuff is going to have to be replaced pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
That sucks. And that's all, both cases due to severe water damage. So.
Yeah, and it looks like it was maybe a metal building that the roof just came off.
Yeah. It's sad. I don't know much about this particular haunted house.
No.
But it's apparently in the range that we could someday visit. So
yeah.
If we ever do a Tennessee tour, maybe we'll make our way there and check out what they're doing.
Okay.
Okay. A Valentine's Day story. This one fascinated me when you sent me this link. This is an article by Aaron Donnelly at Yahoo Lifestyle. Send in the clowns.
Yes.
Is the headline. These Valentine's Day grams are being delivered by haunted house performers. Long story short, in California, four clowns from the Ranch of Horror are delivering Valentines.
Yes.
And they've been doing this apparently for 6 years, but now people are really starting to take notice of it. They show up at the place of whatever, dressed as creepy clowns, and they deliver a bouquet or a rose or whatever the person wants. You set up the delivery. It starts at $18, but you add on the things that you want to deliver. And apparently it's been a pretty lucrative business for the haunted. They say it started out as a joke.
Right.
But it just kind of went crazy. Now, one thing I found interesting in the article was they described all the precautions they have to take.
Yeah.
They go into great detail with this, but basically, there's a driver and a clown in a car. And the driver has the job of peering into the area and seeing, okay, is there children around? Anyone might get excessively frightened. If it's a place of business, will they be receptive to this?
Right.
And if they're not, he's responsible for luring the target, I guess we'll say, out of the building to receive the telegram.
Yeah. You've got something outside. Come and see.
Come and see. And there's a big fucking evil clown waiting on you. And what's really weird about this has, even though it's in California, it's entirely a California story, it has two weird Louisiana angles.
Yeah, it does.
First, Ranch of Horror has a location here in southeast Louisiana, actually. It's near Covington.
Right. Yeah, we've been to it.
Been to it once. They've got a location here at a local, fun park. They set it up every year. Second, Dark Stitches...
Yeah.
And not, you know what? They're both North Shore.
Yeah.
It's not even just Louisiana. It's not even just Southeast Louisiana.
No.
It's North Shore, Southeast Louisiana.
Exactly.
And holy crap.
Yeah.
The other is that Dark Stitches, who is from Slidell, which
right.
is also on the North Shore, but the opposite side of the lake, pretty
right.
much, did one of the costumes for one of the clowns.
Yeah, they shared the story with saying, look at that Dark Stitches costume.
Yeah, you don't know which one.
Yeah, one of the
one of the clowns, at least, was Dark Stitches. So both are very cool. It's neat to see the reach of Louisiana, Southeast Louisiana sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very interesting story. And I think, honestly, if you're a haunt that is not into opening for Valentine's Day, this could be a lower risk, lower staff alternative.
Yeah.
Might be something to check out.
Yeah, it could.
Oh, boy. You got the fun one. You got a fun one.
Well, no.
Sorry.
No, I thought that the Send in the Clowns was going to be last because I thought that was the most fun. But, okay, so this article is actually with Heavy Heart. We are reporting, the article is by Jamie Sherrod and Anne Marie WNEM5 in St. Charles, Michigan. The town is mourning the death of Mark Fulton. He is one of the founders of the Village of the Living Dead, which is a haunt dedicated to the youth of St. Charles and the surrounding areas. The charity has donated millions of dollars back into the community and flew in lieu of flowers. People are asked to donate to charities.
Definitely one of the best of us. I mean, that's just all there is to it. I mean,
yeah.
From the sound of this, I was unaware of this haunt or this charity until this article.
Right.
The little bit of research I did says that they have, like I said, over $1 million has gone back to the community. And they appear to be one of those haunt charity operations, a bit like the Lafitte Fire Department here,
mm-hmm.
where some of the money goes here, some of the money goes there. They don't have a one target organization. They give to the fire department. They give to the schools. One of their big things is making sure kids have school supplies.
Right.
They give backpacks and filled with school supplies to kids.
Yeah.
Things like that. They do that type of stuff. And it just sounds like a great organization. And the fact they've been able to do so much in a relatively small town is mind-blowing and very impressive.
It is.
So, yeah, definitely a tragic loss. Speaking of heavy stuff, unfortunately, keeping that theme going for just a minute, Terror Manor in Roanoke, Virginia, teamed with the Price family to raise awareness about childhood cancer. Now, this article is by Lindsay Kane, C-A-Y-N-E, at WDBJ7. Nobody makes fun of that call sign, I guarantee you. Nobody. but yes, the story is basically that the Price family lost their young daughter, Rowan, to cancer when she was apparently 5 or 6 years old. And the long story short was what they did is they teamed up to, during their Valentine's Day opening, add awareness to about childhood cancer. The actors were holding signs, messages about the how frequent childhood cancer strikes, etc., were sprinkled throughout the haunt. And there was a wall that was, and there were multiple dedications and tributes to Rowan throughout the haunt. Basically. Mm-hmm. And this is something we don't think about a lot in the haunt industry. And one of the reasons I kind of wanted to put this out there was when we talk about charity haunts and giving back, we think about the money.
Yeah.
We think about what portion of the proceeds can go, doing canned food drives, things like that. We think about money. We think about stuff.
Right.
But we forget the fact that we also have a lot of eyeballs.
Yeah.
And we can, if we want, turn those eyeballs around and make them think about our things. Now, that's difficult because a haunt is still supposed to be a fun place.
Right.
And I don't have an easy answer to this. How do you educate, especially on something that's heavy, in an environment where people are trying to have fun?
Yeah.
I don't have the answer to this.
No, I don't either. It seems like if I knew the family and went through the haunt and saw all of the awareness things that I'd leave crying, but not out of fear.
Yeah. It It's definitely an interesting idea.
Yes.
And I applaud the haunt for doing it.
Oh, yeah.
To be very, very clear, I applaud them for doing it and taking the gamble and doing it. This is the type of thing I think we could do more of. And some haunts will do it in other ways. Like, for example, we'll have haunts that also try to educate you about history.
Yes.
Like the one at Onnick that we went to did that.
Right. The one at Onnick and the one in Galveston.
Yeah. They both focused heavily on the historic component, and they did that by making the history accurate, but the actual haunt, you know, of course, it's a haunt.
Right.
You have that clear delineation between this is the educational part and this is the fantasy part in both cases. And so that worked pretty well both of those times. I feel like I learned things and like I had a good haunt experience in both cases. Like I said, I applaud them for trying it. I think it's very touching and very sweet. And I do think haunts should be looking to find ways that they can turn eyeballs into real change, too, because we can give more than money.
Right. No, I completely agree with that. I don't know of other ways, but there's definitely, you know, some things to think about with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, we said we were going to end on a happy note.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Okay. So
this is the oldest of the stories, by the way. This actually is right around Christmas time this came out.
Right. So this article is from Rutherford.
No, it's January Rutherford. His Rutherford? Name's January Rutherford.
His name is January?
His name is January.
Is it a he or a she?
I don't know. Their name is January. You're right.
Their
My
name.
Bad.
Yes. Their name is January Rutherford at the Tribune. I thought you'd put the month in there for some reason.
No. No, that's the name. I copied and pasted that. January Rutherford is their name. I just assumed, by the way, any family named Rutherford had no women anywhere in the lineage.
There had to have been somewhere.
I know. It just sounds like a fox hunting club, though.
In Seymour,
I'm sorry,
Indiana.
January. I'm so sorry.
In Seymour, Indiana, Brett Hayes, the man behind Fear Fair, has brought back the Seymour Lights. And I guarantee you have seen videos of the lights display.
Yeah.
At some point.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that he began the lights in 2007 and ended it in 2011. And people, whenever they come by now, ask him, you know, did you do this last year? And he's like, no, I haven't done it for, you know,
well, you know, if
years.
We ever stopped the haunt, we'd have the same problem.
Exactly. Yeah. But, so another issue that he faced was trying to do a 7-year display with a 1-year open because everything is new.
Yeah. And everything is, and it's interesting why he said everything is new, not because necessarily everything was like bend, but because the tech has moved so far forward.
Right.
In just the 8 years he was gone.
Yeah.
Moved so far forward that he felt the need to start from the ground up. And that's damned impressive. And I gotta say, someone that does a yard display, a mite bit terrifying. But yeah, he started the display from scratch this year. The show ran from Thanksgiving through January 5th. He gave specific hours, but they're not relevant because the show's passed by the time we're reporting on it, obviously. And yeah, I like this comment about trying to do like a 5th year or 7th year or whatever show.
Right.
On the first year because he had to up himself from back in 2011.
Yeah.
Now, the other cool thing about this is, of course, Brett Hayes is well known in the haunter groups.
Right.
Multiple haunter groups have him. I think he's our Facebook friend.
Yeah.
He's everybody's Facebook friend. He's that kind of neat guy. We all know him for Fear Fair. So yeah, to see him, and it's always weird doing Haunt Weekly when we're doing the news coverage.
Right.
To see people we know in the news.
Yeah.
I always find it a little weird. I don't know why, because like we've been in the news.
Yeah.
In fact, we've even covered a news story involving us.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it looks really cool. They didn't show any video of the light display, unfortunately. But yeah, it looks like it was really awesome this year. Like he brought out some really banging tech.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
I mean,
like we've talked to Ellie about how much time would go into programming something like this, and it's insane.
Yeah, It is absolutely clinically insane how much time goes into the programming.
Mm-hmm.
So we've not done it, basically. Now, there are places you can go online. I found a few which do the programming for you and will even sell you the controller boards.
Right.
But even that greatly has a great escalation in time cost compared to what we do.
Yeah.
And honestly, we used to do like a cheap music sync up with our lights, but the neighbors hated it. And they hated it because they couldn't take photos of it.
Yeah. Neighbors and people come in to see them.
So we just decided, especially on nights we're open, it's all lights are on, no time display.
Yeah.
And besides, the real focus of our display is the skeletons.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We're the skeleton house.
Yeah, we are.
Skeleton house of Algiers. We're not the skeleton house in New Orleans. That's on Magazine Street.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No, it's on St. Charles.
St. Charles, that's right. St. Charles. Yeah, we're never competing with them. We don't have enough yard.
Exactly.
We have enough skeletons, probably, but not enough yard.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have more. But yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's always funny because whenever the skeletons drop prices after Halloween,
mm-hmm.
I'm always watching the stores to see who has the lowest price and how many they have in stock. And if I get there and they've run out in that time, I know the skeleton house got there before I did.
Dang, skeleton house.
I know.
Well, and it's one of those things because we're way out here. Well, not way out here. Make it sound like we're in fucking Egypt or something. But we're in Algiers. We're across the river from that side of the river. From that side. Oh,
oh
my
wow.
God. Oh, Lord of mercy. The cold's taking me. Mama, I'm coming home.
You forgot to word.
No, but we're on the opposite side of the river from them. And so we have that buffer of nobody likes to cross the river.
Right.
Even for cheap skeletons. And so we can usually, especially the Walgreens.
Yeah.
We can usually get some sweet cheap skeletons.
Yeah.
Like November 2nd or 3rd. And that's the one thing we've started doing is we have enough skeletons for what we do. So we typically wait and just see what we can grab at like the 80% off phase.
Right. But I always, I do like watching how fast they disappear from all the stores online. And I'm like, I know who's buying them.
I know probably about 99% certainty who's buying them. Yes,
yeah.
We do. But
yeah.
No. Yeah, Brett Hayes. Brett Hayes is light display. What the hell? But no. Awesome work, man. You know, we're not Christmas people around these here parts, but we have mad respect for what you do.
Yep.
How's that?
Exactly.
Well, on that note, that's all the news we have. We should be relatively caught up then. If we missed something, please do let us know. We can mention it in a future episode. You can do that at hauntweekly.com. We're hauntweekly on Twitter. We're hauntweekly on Facebook. And youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. Leave a comment there if you wish, if that's where you prefer. Also, there, all of our previous episodes are available for easy listening. You're also available on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, though I have no idea how many episodes are available there because they all are different.
Yeah.
What, you thinking easy listening jokes?
Yes, I'm just...
Anyway, you think Chinny G's playing Hot Weekly
Jams? I'm just giggling to myself, that's all.
Oh, good Lord. Well, until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Hot Weekly. I almost said Garbage Horror.
Jesus.
Wow, this cold, it's killing me. This has been Hot Weekly Episode 220, doing the December through February news. We will see you guys next week with something else. We'll be on the road, though, so maybe we'll be talking some Wichita stuff. Who knows? We'll see you then.